Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, a very special edition of the program as we are broadcasting live from the White House complex here in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It has been a pretty insane week or so here on the program. Thursday, President Trump sitting down with us for that incredible 20-minute interview. And today, we're going to be bringing you a lot of very important guests from the administration talking about all sorts of very important issues. By the way, President Trump in the Oval Office right now, and he's been holding court, announcing all sorts of new executive orders, including one that will impact those who want to burn Old Glory. The president announcing that if you burn the American flag, you're going to jail. And we're going to get into more of that in just a little while. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926 if you want to weigh in on any of the conversation that we're having today. And we want to kick things off right away with a special guest. And he joined us the last time we were broadcasting from the White House, Callie Means, who is a senior advisor to the Make America Healthy Again movement, the MAHA movement. Kelly, good to see you.
Oh, great to see you, Todd.
You know, it's these kinds of things are so important, and I think it's great about getting the message out. President Trump's been all about transparency, and what you guys are doing especially has been so important to families and making sure that Americans are eating and living a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, this is eminently bipartisan, what President Trump's talking about. And we realized something during the campaign, which is, you know, parents are just frustrated about children's health. I mean, we have 40% of our teens pre-diabetic right now. You know, parents are obviously concerned about ultra-processed food. They're concerned about questions about vaccines. They're concerned about pharmaceutical products. 40% of teens are also on a pharmaceutical medication, chronic disease. And I think it really tied in this MAHA with MAGA very well, because the issue, it's not left-right. There's really transparency issues. There's corruption issues. There's systemic issues. And for whatever reason, the left has given up on talking about children's health. They've become the party of big pharma, the party of big food. And there was an opening that President Trump really seized. And it's 1 year in. It was a year ago yesterday that Bobby Kennedy endorsed President Trump. I don't think anyone could have imagined the cultural awakening that we'd see from this.
I'm not sure if a lot of people really, you know, do the deep dive into understanding how important that is, because we've been having issues recruiting in the military. The military's been having big issues finding people that were actually able to meet the physical requirements necessary to serve in the military.
Yeah, the Biden administration is actually lowering the recruitment standards instead of really addressing the root cause. I just met last week with the VA, and 40% of our veterans, 40% of people in the VA system have diabetes, full-fledged diabetes. So we've got some real root cause issues. And, you know, there's been so many positive developments in the past 6 months. One was President Trump reinstituting the Fitness Commission. I mean, this is just common sense things. But President Obama decommissioned the Presidential Fitness Commission for kids because he said it was too competitive. He said we were stressing too much competition for children. Now you have a contest among cabinet secretaries. Kelly Loeffler over there said she's doing her push-up, practicing her push-ups. They're doing push-ups, pull-ups on social media, getting tens of millions of views. So it's just these basic things. We just got to get back to those.
We're trying to implement that here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show as well. So we've got the team ready to go. No, I think this is a great example of leading by example when you have our cabinet secretaries out there and they're doing the work. And I couldn't help but chuckle when Zohran Mamdani, the socialist running for mayor, completely bombed there on the bench press.
Tulsi Gabbard and I think almost every member of the cabinet can do much more of a bench press than that. And, you know, this isn't nanny state or anything. This is just public health messaging that kids should be strong, that
Kitchen Whole Food, that we should get back to a competitive spirit in this country. I think it's very important, really resonating.
I think it's been infuriating for a lot of people to see TikTok, Instagram people posting the videos of the EBT cards and just such unhealthy food that people are purchasing and the messaging that sends.
It's really wild, Todd. We've been talking about this a lot. SNAP is the fourth largest entitlement program in the country. It's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and SNAP. It's $120 billion a year. And 70% of that program goes to ultra-processed food and soda. So we're literally, with a government program, shoving ultra-processed food down our children's throats. And then 90% of kids on SNAP are also on Medicaid. And we spend $1 trillion on Medicaid right now. 90% of that Medicaid spending goes to chronic disease caused by this food. So it's public policy insanity. And looking at the first 6 months of the administration on the MAHA agenda, we've had the most dramatic reform of food incentives in American history. We have actually worked with 22 states. It's an individual state decision, but 22 states have come forward, almost all red states, and taken soda and candy off SNAP. So if you're going to have SNAP, and we can debate the merits of SNAP, but if you're going to have it, it should not be going to soda. And the administration's led on that.
1,000%.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. Kelly Means joining us here from the White House today, a very special day as we talk to a lot of administration officials. By the way, Lee Zeldin's going to be dropping by. Also, the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, is going to be with us as well. You know, Kelly, going back to the strategy here, you guys are getting ready for a big meeting, what, next week?
That's right.
Take us through that. What can we expect?
So President Trump marshaled the entire cabinet. So health is a multifactorial issue. It's not just a matter of getting kids more drugs. It's actually looking at the root cause. So he marshaled the MAHA Commission. This is inspiring. We have Lee Zeldin on that commission, the USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins, members of the military. And we're really asking, how do we get to the root cause? And this report's going to be historic next week. One thing it's going to do is look at the NIH. We spend $50 billion a year. And 95% of that's going to really like pharmaceutical R&D. And, you know, the NIH, when you think about it, is really, it's shocking what's happened in the past 20 years. The NIH funded the creation of COVID. I mean, that's the general assessment at this point. They funded the gain in function research led to the COVID pandemic. And then it just came out that they've made $400 million in royalties from the supposed cure. I mean, there's real corruption at the NIH. And what this report lays out is we need to study actually what's really causing people to get sick, not just these pharmaceutical handouts.
And again, this all goes back to the simple truth is we've got to make this country healthy, and a healthier America is a more secure America, I have to imagine.
That's why I think it's so important we have, you know, the VA secretary on the MAHA Commission. I mean, we have a national security crisis. We have an economic crisis. Health spending is the biggest part of the federal budget. We spend four times more per capita than any other country in the world on healthcare and live 7 years less than the Italians. This is an economic problem, a health problem, a national security problem. And I think, as Bobby Kennedy has pointed out, I think a cultural, spiritual problem. When our kids aren't healthy and when we're not, as a society, looking at this devastation among children's, the chronic disease rights. We have the highest rates of cancer among kids of any society in human history right now. So we're talking about those things. And this MAHA report and this assessment government-wide is like we just got to get to the root cause of that.
All right, Callie, we're going to leave there. Before we let you go, we got to clear this up. MAHA had absolutely nothing to do with what's happening at Cracker Barrel.
Right? No.
That's
absolutely not. No, we don't support that at all. We're working with a lot of restaurants who are working to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Cracker Barrel.
Jeez, Lou, you got to love it. All right, Kelly Means, great to see you again. Thank you for dropping by, and thanks for what you guys are doing, making America healthy again.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting on over 160 radio stations around the nation, live from the White House today. Great to have you guys with us. We have got a lot of wonderful guests coming up. Also, we may have a special surprise coming up. That's all I'll say is a special surprise coming up a little bit later on in the program. We are going to be talking to Lee Zeldin and the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, in just a few moments. Right now, though, Josh Jones, who is a regular political pundit on my Newsmax show, you hear him all the time, and he is based here in D.C. So, Josh, we could not come to D.C. without getting you into the White House.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, Todd. It's so great to talk to these administration officials.
And first time for you walking into the White House complex.
Yes, today. Sir. Yeah, this is a first for me. When I first got out of college and into politics, a previous administration was in town. Not as welcoming, but no, it's great to be here.
They didn't like folks like us, just to be very fair about it. You know, it's interesting. Got into town yesterday and did the big tour, walked right around. They would tell you, if you're listening to the media, this is some sort of a police state. Mm-hmm. I did not see that. I saw National Guard troops. But it wasn't wall-to-wall police.
Not at all. It's totally a false narrative coming from the left. I mean, I've been in D.C. for a year now. Anybody that tells you the city was safe and secure before now is absolutely lying. The Trump administration is totally right to federalize the city and take crime and put it under control.
You know, it's interesting. We just got word a few moments ago, the number of arrests so far, just 11 days, 1,000 people arrested. And they haven't had a single murder here in Washington, D.C. What does that tell you?
That tells you it's working. I mean, and also want to put it into perspective, the people protesting this, what they're protesting is that there's been no murders. So the only people who have anything to worry about are criminals. The citizens of D.C. deserve a safe city.
You know, I was listening to CBS Radio News, and there's been a lot of anger coming out of Chicago City Hall because the mayor, they're threatening President Trump and the administration, saying, do not come. You are not coming to the Windy City.
Right.
And in that same report, they went out and interviewed the residents of Chicago's South Side, and they're like, for the love of God, please come to our city, Mr. President. This is, I think, Josh, when you look at the downfall of the Democrat Party, mm-hmm. and they have completely discombobulated,
yep.
it has to be because they are so far out of touch with the regular American people.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Trump derangement syndrome to a 10. Everybody wants to live in a safe community, and that's what the Trump administration is doing, and it's proving to work here in D.C. We've got 11 days without a murder, over 1,000 arrests, and it's securing the city, and we should expand that nationwide so Americans can live safe.
Josh Jones here with us in Washington at the White House as we look at what the president is doing. Every time I ran into law enforcement last night, I just made it a point to go over and say, hey, guys, just thank you for what you're doing here. Thanks for keeping, you know, the nation's capital safe. And I saw other people doing the exact same thing. And I think the people of Washington are just so grateful and so thankful.
Yeah, I totally agree, because even talking to some of my Democrat friends, or maybe friends that aren't necessarily political, you see them backing this move by the administration, even if it's quietly on the sidelines.
All right, another big story we've been following, Josh, this coming out of the executive orders earlier this morning, President Trump doing a crackdown on people who burn Old Glory. Again, it seems like pretty common sense to me. In America, up until now, it was a crime to burn a pride flag, but it was not a crime to burn the American flag. I just never could understand that.
Yeah, no. Our flag represents all of us. It shouldn't be a political thing, and it definitely shouldn't be getting burned. So President Trump is taking the right move here.
I don't advocate burning anybody's flag, but,
right, exactly.
If you're telling me that, okay. So the president, and I want to read this to you folks, because this information just coming in from the White House, the executive order will crack down on anybody who desecrates the American flag, including burning it, and they'll face mandatory penalties under the law. I think up to a year in jail. This coming from the Attorney General. And I say good for you, Pam Bondi. I'm sick and tired of people cracking down, or sick and tired of people that are making cracks, burning Old Glory, attacking our nation, and it comes to a stop.
Yeah, exactly. The Trump administration is totally taking the right move here. And pretending, I mean, it is the symbol of our nation. It should be respected, especially by our own people.
Yeah. All right. Josh, good. It's good to have you with us. We're going to be dipping in and out of coverage as we go throughout the day here. And again, it was it's been a busy time here at the White House today. Of course, the president meeting with the South Koreans. And we're expecting a lot of news to develop out of that as well. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be checking in with the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol. Mike Banks is going to be joining us here today. We'll be talking about Border Patrol enforcement. Border crossings now at historic all-time lows, thanks to the efforts of this White House. It's really phenomenal. So we're looking forward to talking with Chief Banks coming up in just a moment. You mentioned Kelly Loeffler, former senator, now administrator of the Small Business Administration. And we are just a lot of Trump officials wandering around, and we hope to be able to say hello to her in just a little while. Also, want to remind you folks, as always tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we'll be broadcasting our Newsmax show live from Washington, D.C., the D.C. Bureau. And want to remind you about Newsmax. Incredible news, of course, with Newsmax going public on the New York Stock Exchange. And millions of people are joining our news revolution. Newsmax is now the 4th highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, and, of course, yours truly. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching today. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. And also be sure to get that free Newsmax app. You can also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange by going to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com, and check out all of that great information. By the way, coming up a little bit later, we have more intel coming in from two big culture war stories, one of them involving Cracker Barrel and the other involving these male cheerleaders within the National Football League. And it's beyond me why this is such a controversy. But the Cracker Barrel thing has gone from bad to worse, and now they've launched a Cracker Barrel pop-up store in New York City. And they're trying to get all the Gen Zers out there to post these videos on TikTok and Instagram, and they seem to believe that this is going to be the way forward. This is how they're going to be able to save the company from what could be bankruptcy. So we'll get into more of that a little bit later on and play some audio there as well. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. By the way, many of you are asking about the interview we did with President Trump. You can actually get that interview right now by going to our website, toddstearns.com. The podcast is free of charge, and we have we pulled out the interview with the president, so you'll be able to listen to that exclusively, and you'll be able to find all of that information on our website, toddstearns.com. Okay, coming up, we have the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, Mike Banks. Also, Ron Vitellio, who is a Customs and Border Patrol senior advisor. You've seen him on my Newsmax show. We're going to be talking to Ron as well. And we're going to be taking your calls. Whatever questions you might have for the administration, we're going to be taking those. And, again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. I'm Todd Stearns, along with Josh Jones. Dalton Glasscock joining us here in Washington. We'll be right back.
Health insurance rates are surging in America. leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Hey, Todd, don't forget to mention to Mr. Trump that you're planning on a vacation with all your top listeners. I just want to throw that out there. Don't forget about us. Bye.
All right, that was Mark from the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, we will do our very best, and we'll pass it along to the president. Want to welcome in to our conversation here at the White House today the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, and he's a Georgia guy. I learned something new today, Chief Mike Banks. Chief, I knew there was something good about you, so good to have you with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So you've been doing this for a very long time, and I'm curious, you've had a chance to see how previous administrations handled the border, and how is President Trump's administration different?
So you know what? President Trump is empowering the United States Border Patrol to do what we do, which is get the border under control. He actually listens to us and then delivers on what we tell him we need to get it done. He has put in place Secretary Noem, never worked for a tougher, more go-getter boss in my career, and he's lined us up with the right level of leadership that are supporting our agents getting this border under control.
So we hear that coming out of D.C. What is that like, and what are you guys hearing among the rank-and-file agents out there?
And so I can tell you that I was just out in the field last week with Secretary Noem down in El Paso painting some new border wall. And prior to that, I was up on the northern border, and our morale is through the roof. Imagine that. You allow Border Patrol agents to go enforce the law, and they're happy.
Imagine that. And by the way, I mean, the recruitment numbers have been, phenomenal.
We were breaking records. Last month, we had over 12,000 applicants.
Wow.
Right now, we have over 1,013 agents in training at the academy and a list waiting to go in behind them.
Is that so? So what, take us through that process. What are you guys looking for? What is the ideal Border Patrol agent?
And so the ideal Border Patrol agent is somebody who wants to serve, who loves their country, and who wants to be in law enforcement, right? We do have a lot of prior military. Myself, I'm a military veteran, so we do have a lot of military. It's not a requirement, but you got to love your country. You got to be willing to work in remote areas. We work in a lot of very remote areas. And you got to be adventurous. I mean, this is a job where you're on horses one day, you're on ATVs the next, motorcycle. You could be in a boat or a helicopter. There's no ending to the possibilities of different type of assignments you get to do in the Border Patrol.
This is not like a boring office gig.
Absolutely not.
You're going to be out there in the field. You know, several years back, and this was during the previous administration, I went out with some guys down south of Tucson, and it was really shocking to see, you know, the conditions. You know, you had people throwing things at the agents. I mean, it's a pretty dangerous a job assignment out there on the border.
And so it is, right? I mean, we a lot of times you're out there, you're by yourself with a large group, and it's an hour or plus before you can get a backup just because the area is so expansive. We need people that are bold and brave. But I can tell you what, not just the morale going through the roof, but with the big, beautiful bill, the funding we got to hire all these agents, we want to get back to a place where we have enough agents to control the border. I can tell you right now, we've got everybody from National Guard to Department of Defense to... If you are in law enforcement in the federal government in the United States, you're doing something with the border right now. It's been a stopgap for us because under the prior administration, morale was at an all-time low. We had people retiring as soon as they were eligible. We had people leaving to go to other agencies. We're seeing that opposite now. We've done a complete 180, and so as we continue to build back up our manpower, we'll be able to get the DOD back to doing DOD. We'll be able to get the other agencies back off.
I got a call one day on the radio show from a lady. She lived with her mom. They had a little small little ranch out there in Arizona. And she talked about how she had to go to sleep with a shotgun because every morning she'd wake up and there would be illegals hiding in her garage. And I'm thinking, that is no way for an American citizen to have to live their life. I'm wondering, have things changed now for a lot of the ranchers who live in those border areas?
So they have. But I myself and my wife are one of those ranchers that live down on the southwest border in Texas, and we have a little cattle ranch down there. But I'll tell you this. Last month, we saw a little over 4,000 people attempt to come into this country illegally. That was 10 to 12,000 a day on a daily basis. And now we're setting records for those crossing the month. The other number that I'm very proud of is the total number of people the United States Border Patrol have released into this country after arrest in the last 4 months. Zero. And we're going to continue that. We're not in the business of catch and release. We're in the business of apprehending, prosecuting, and deporting. And we're going to continue doing that. Our numbers are going great in the right directions as far as recruitment, as far as agents at the academy. It's going the right way in the number of arrests we're making and the number of illegal entries that are down. So we're breaking records in a positive way with hiring and and then also with the level of control we're gaining on this border.
And I'm curious, I want to go back to morale because that's such a huge thing. I mean, these agents, they have been, you know, they didn't have the backing of the previous administration. On top of that, you had the mainstream media coming after these guys. They were getting doxxed. I can't even imagine what that must have been like for the guys.
And so the morale was at an all-time low. Again, I retired under the prior administration because I found myself at a point where I didn't feel I could honor my oath and continue. So I retired and went to work for the governor of Texas, as the Texas borders are. And then I was asked to come back, and I came back in a heartbeat because I knew that the president was going to support us and allow us to go out there and do our job. I knew that Secretary Nome was going to. I'd had the opportunity to meet her several times when she was sending troops from her home state down to assist us in Texas. The doxing is a big issue, you know, and you still see it today where people are complaining about agents wearing masks. Mm-hmm. An agent does not want to stand in 90% humidity at 110 degrees in South Texas and wear a mask. But an agent also doesn't want to be doxed. He doesn't want his family threatened. There is not an agent that isn't proud of what they're doing. We're not wearing a mask to conceal our identity. We're wearing masks to protect ourselves and our families from being harassed when we're off duty.
That's what it's all about. And we've seen this happening with a lot of administration officials. But the reality is, Border Patrol, you guys don't have your own private security. You know, I mean,
right.
When you go home, you're it. You're the last line of defense.
And we live in the communities where we work.
Sure. And that's a huge part of it. Again, joining us, Chief Mike Banks of the U.S. Border Patrol. Chief, when you look at down the road, I mean, the border crossings at historic lows now. What do you guys see as the challenge? What's the next challenge for you guys?
So I think the biggest challenge for us is to get all the border infrastructure that we're building. So we're going to be building a significant amount of border wall. But I want to highlight something on the border wall. The border wall isn't just a wall that we put up and walk away from. It is a system. It comes with lighting. It comes with technology. It comes with ground sensing radars. It comes with cameras so we can see the threat approaching the wall. And what it does is it allows us to control a much larger area with a much smaller workforce. It is a huge force multiplier. And one of the biggest things we get with a border wall system is a road. I know that sounds silly, but there are places on the U.S.-Mexican border where you cannot drive east and west. And so you've literally now have to work the border from miles north of it. This is going to get us right down onto that border, so we stop it at the line.
No, I've seen it. It's you don't think that's the case, but it's just some of the topography out there is just insane.
And so, in addition to that, we're building back up our resources with, like I said, with our recruitment numbers to get to a point where the U.S. Border Patrol can continue gaining more control. Now, you hear the term operational control. I will tell you right now, the United States border is more secure than it's ever been. But we're still not 100%. And what operational control means is we can identify, apprehend, and prosecute every person that attempts to come into this country. When we get to that point, we'll flag and say we're secure. But what we really need to do right now is get our resources and our technology and our infrastructure in place so that we can let the ATF, DEA, and everybody else that's out there helping us, let them get back to doing their jobs. And so we need to get back to a position where we can control that border by ourselves.
Chief, we got to leave it there. I know you're a busy man and a popular guy here on Media Row, but we sure do appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
I appreciate you guys, and thanks for putting on the stories out there.
All right, Chief Mike Banks, everybody, the Chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, joining us here from the White House on Media Row. We're going to be taking a quick break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're broadcasting today from the White House. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Also, our good friend Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, is going to be here. Right now, we're very excited to welcome a guest who's I've seen on TV because you've been on my Newsmax show, Ron Vitello, who is a Customs and Border Patrol senior advisor. Ron, good to see you in person finally.
Same here. It's good to be with you.
You know, we just had Chief Banks on from Border Patrol, and it was so exciting to hear about all the positive things that are happening, securing our border and making sure that we have a sovereign nation.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly, if you align the policy from the president, you get good leadership like Kristi Noem, and you give the front line the tools that they need to succeed, how quickly they've taken control of the physical border and put it in a condition I've never seen it in 40 years.
And it's been interesting, you know, again, moving beyond the border to what's happening with the ICE agents and rounding up the illegals. You know, this is going to be a sustained effort, I have to imagine.
Yes. In fact, the Congress passing the reconciliation package gives both CBP and ICE the sustainability for what is going on today, right? So more physical attributes at the border, as well as scaling up the operations in the interior.
You know, when you look at the interior, a lot of people don't realize that under their previous administration, every single state and every single town became a border town and a border state.
Yeah, it was a lawless border. Thousands of people coming every night, thousands being released into every community in the United States. And that nonsense, luckily for all of us, is over.
You know, we saw the story unfolding over the weekend and today with Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the so-called Maryland man. You know, this guy had a chance to self-deport, didn't want to take advantage of that, and may end up in Uganda. I probably would have self-deported myself.
Yeah, you probably could have. Imagine that story, right? This is a guy that is now going to go into a country he's never been to, and he didn't deserve to be in this one as well. And so if he's the definition of a Maryland man, we don't need any more of those in the United States.
No, we don't. And, you know, another big issue, and I know that Florida has been all over this with Governor Ron DeSantis and these illegals, people who do not speak English driving these big rig trucks. You're getting the commercial driver's licenses. Again, this is yet another example of why we must have a secure border so that these people are not driving out there on the highways, putting all of our lives in danger.
That's 100% true, and we don't have to. Those are preventable crimes. That was a very preventable accident. That guy should have never been behind the wheel of a truck like that. We don't need people like that in the United States to do that kind of thing.
You know, when I heard the story that Chief Banks shared about how he left, he was so discouraged during the previous administration and then came back. I'm just curious, from your vantage point as a senior advisor, what are you hearing about morale among the agents?
Well, it's off the charts. They are now empowered to do the job that we hired them for. That's patrol the border, rescue people in distress, find the victims of human trafficking, and keep the poisonous drugs that the cartels are bringing into the United States. They've had over 100% increase in capacity with 10,000 National Guard troops. If you would have told me 5 years ago that the first time illegal entrant that crosses the border is going to get federally prosecuted and sentenced to time in the United States, that didn't happen in most of my career. And so now it's happening at the rate of like 90%. Almost every other case that we refer to the Justice Department is getting prosecuted in federal court. So if you cross the border now, you're likely to be apprehended, likely to be prosecuted, and you will be removed quickly.
And this is, look, I mean, it just makes perfect sense. I always lost in the conversation of the debate the millions of people that are trying to come to America the legal way. It seems to me we ought to be thinking about those folks. Those are the kinds of folks we want coming into the country, not somebody who wants to literally break our law as their first act of setting foot on American soil.
That's absolutely right. Many of us in the United States share a migration background, an immigration background, and our parents, our grandparents, they stood in line, they did it the right way, and it's an insult to those kinds of people when you see thousands of folks crossing the border illegally and being released at the border like we saw during the 4 years of Joe Biden.
So moving forward, what does it look like being in Border Patrol? I mean, you guys the recruitment numbers are off the charts here. What is it going to take to have a sustained effort to keep our border secure?
Yeah, it's resources. We're going to put 3,000 net new Border Patrol agents on the front line, 5,000 Customs and Border Protection officers. We're going to invest in recapitalizing the cars and the trucks and the stations that they work out of. And so we're going to use the investment that the taxpayer gave us through the reconciliation to sustain what's being done now by policy and grit. Over the long term. So that's more boots on the ground, more technology, more wall, and just the ability for them to continue to do their job well.
And I have to imagine that at the end of the day, building that wall, I thought it was a brilliant move painting it black. I mean, these are, and it's not meant to be mean-spirited, we've got to keep people out of this country.
The wall is one of the things that the Democrats will never reverse policy on. Once you have a 30-foot wall in the southwest border, they're not going to take it down, and that's why they are dismissive of the president's initiatives here, because they know he's succeeding, and the wall is an enduring example of that success.
All right, Ron, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate the great work you're doing and the advisory role there, and it's exciting. This has been a huge success story, and again, President Trump has been able to do what previous presidents said they could not do. They just didn't want to do, did they?
I agree, and thanks for having me on.
All right, Ron, thank you again. All right, folks. Wow, the conversation is just getting started here. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to the Secretary of Commerce. I mentioned on Thursday we sat down with President Trump for that super long interview. We covered a lot of ground, and one of the things about the president, he was up at the crack of dawn today, already at work, meeting with the South Koreans right now, issuing executive orders, and we asked the president, how do you do it, Mr. President? Take a listen to Cut 3.
Okay, I don't know how you do this, Mr. President. You know, I do 3 hours of radio and then the Newsmax TV show, and I'm worn out by the end of the day, and you're just getting started. A lot of folks wondering, how does the president do it? What is the daily routine here?
Well, I sort of have no choice. It's either do it or it doesn't get done. And I like doing things myself. But we have a good team also. We have a lot of things going. We ended 7 wars, probably more than that. You know, they wrote an article and they gave me 3 additional ones that I ended without even knowing it. But, you know, I saw things were going bad and it looked like it was going to go bad. And it could have been 10, but it is 7. And that's a lot of wars. That's a lot of wars. That includes going in and knocking the hell out of the future nuclear capacity of Iran. That was a big one, too.
All right, that was President Trump talking about his daily routine. And I'm curious from you, ladies and gentlemen, how would you grade the Trump presidency thus far? And what do you think the president's greatest success story is thus far in the administration? We're not even a year into this, folks. The president said, we're going to have to pace ourselves because we're going to get winded with all of the winning. I am not tired yet of the winning, but I could use a nap. Still, this president out there, and he is a whirlwind because he knows the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking, and we've got a lot of work to get done. So we're going to be taking your calls. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Just a reminder to head over to ToddStearns.com in the break. Be sure to get yourself a copy of the latest book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? This is we sat down with President Trump about a year ago, and we did a long-form interview about what it's going to take to save this country. And what the president told me is in the book. And the answer to that question is, yeah, America can be saved. The question is, are all of us willing to stand up and do what needs to be done to save the republic? So we're going to be talking about that. Again, ToddStearns.com. Get yourself a copy of the book right now. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from the White House in Washington, D.C. What a great honor to have all of you joining us across the nation. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today. That number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, a lot of breaking news happening here at the White House today. President Trump signing an executive order directing the Justice Department to go after any of these anti-American thugs who've been burning Old Glory. Let's take a listen to Cut 13, please.
Lastly, sir, this is an executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You can do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. You can, and it's, but when you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it. Do you want to discuss that?
Sure. So what the executive order does, sir, it charges your Department of Justice with investigating instances of flag burning, and then where there's evidence of criminal activity that where prosecution wouldn't fall afoul of the First Amendment, and instructs the Department of Justice to prosecute those who are engaged in these instances of flag burning.
And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, you get. And what it does is incite to riot. I hope they use that language, by the way. Did they?
Yeah, incitement is.
Incite to riot.
All right. The president also issuing an executive order, and this involves the sanctuary cities and the cities that are refusing to crack down on crime. And this has been a major deal. The White House announcing and President Trump announcing on my program last week that he was going to take what they were doing in Washington and try that in other cities, including Chicago. Let's take a listen to the president there. That's cut 12.
So I'll start signing the executive orders. To me, this is a very, very big deal. One of the executive orders has to do with cashless bail. That was when the big crime in this country started. And I can tell you who did it, when, but I don't want to do that because others followed pretty quickly. But that was when it happened. Somebody kills somebody, they go in, don't worry about it, no cash, come back in a couple of months, we'll give you a trial. You never see the person again. And, I mean, they kill people and they get out. Cashless bail. They thought it was discriminatory to make people put up money because they just killed three people lying on a street. Any street all over the country, cashless bail. We're ending it, but we're starting by ending it in D.C., and that we have the right to do through federalization. Okay, let's go. Could I ask you to say exactly what this is?
Of course. So as you've consistently identified, sir, cashless bail policies are a key driver of the disorder we see on city streets all over America. Catch and release system allows criminals to keep going back out onto the street and reoffending. What this executive order does, it charges your attorney general with identifying jurisdictions all over the country that have cashless bail policies, and then it withholds or revokes federal funds and grants that are flowing to those jurisdictions to ensure that we're only supporting the people who have reasonable common sense policies around crime.
So what area does it cover?
Potentially anywhere that has a cashless bail policy. So some of the largest cities, some of the most left-wing states in America.
Almost all of them, right?
Illinois would be a great example of that, sir.
Oh, they have a great cashless bail. You don't even have to go to court sometimes. Illinois, I love that state. It's a great state, but it's run so badly by Pritzker. They threw him out of the family business, and he becomes governor. Now he wants to run for president. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, we'll sign right here, right?
Sir.
So important. And this isn't Republican, Democrat. This is, and by the way, most Democrats agree with this. But this is just, we got to bring our country back.
All right, there you have it. Just some of the audio coming out of the Oval Office a little while ago. I want to bring into the conversation Dalton Glasscock, who is the CEO of Stearns Media Group, also serves on the Wichita City Council, and Josh Jones, a great Republican strategist and our official Newsmax pundit. Guys, good to see you. Dalton, for you to hear the president saying, hey, we're going to start cracking down on things like crime and these district attorneys that are advancing these ideas of cashless bail. How important is that for you? I mean, you're on the city council, so I'm sure you get the calls from your constituents if there's a crime wave happening. What do you guys do?
There are two things I hear from every constituent. Number one is they want a reduction in property taxes, which is, I think, unique to everybody else. And number two is they want to feel safe, and they want to be able to walk the streets of Wichita, but they want to be able to walk the streets of Washington, D.C. You mentioned that at the start of the broadcast today, but I was walking around D.C. over the last 2 days and felt safer than I've ever felt in this city. It was clean. It was safe. And I felt a just new day in Washington, D.C.
You know, I was talking to some of the Uber drivers. That's how you get around in this. You know, by the way, I was old school. I would do the taxis until you made me download the whole Uber thing.
Well, first off, Uber drivers know every secret in this city.
They do.
Just imagine how many conversations they hear in the back of the car, and nobody cares. Everybody in D.C. thinks they're a bigwig. And so in the back of the car, people are trying to spill secrets that aren't secrets, but they think they're secrets. And
they're taking notes.
They're taking notes the entire time. But yeah, Uber is far better.
Literary agents. I don't know what's up with that.
Hey, we'll get some of them for the tell-all for your next book.
So, geez-a-loo. So, but I was talking to the Uber drivers, and they were telling me it is night and day. Night and day difference between what D.C. used to be like and really over the past 11 days.
You should be able to walk down every city in the United States at night and feel safe. These are our shared spaces. It shouldn't matter what time of day. You know, you hear the excuse, well, maybe you shouldn't go to this, you know, neighborhood at this time. Well, the people live there. And they should be able to feel safe in their communities. They should be able to safely walk around. Your tax dollars are paying for these public spaces. And it's offensive to say, oh, just don't go to these parts at these times, or don't go after outer 10. Every single person in America should feel safe 24/7 walking around the neighborhoods and their communities.
So the other part of this, and Josh, I want to bring you in because you're from Virginia and you spent some time in Richmond.
Yep.
One of the most beautiful cities in the South, mm-hmm. I think, and the statues and the monuments, and they're all, most of them are gone.
Yeah, that's correct.
Desecrated. Even here in Washington, you know, these mobs would target all of the statues. I'm curious to get your take on the president deciding, you know what, you're not going to be burning the American flag anymore.
Yeah, look, I mean, it goes back to the statues in Richmond, D.C., or wherever they are in the country, and also the flag. These are, particularly when it comes to the flag, I mean, it's representative of every American. It's our national symbol, and it deserves respect. And look, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything administration is doing, whether it's Trump or Biden or whoever, but you shouldn't be burning the American flag as part of that.
Speaking of flags, last time that we were at the White House during this exact broadcast, I think that's when Trump had run outside and told the press that he was... Todd and I were here. We saw a frenzy of media running. And as he unveiled the White House flag on the front lawn. And today we walked in, and it looks beautiful. It's a big, beautiful flag.
It's a beautiful flag.
It's amazing. The giant flagpoles, and there are two, one on either side of the building. And it was it really is something when you come in. It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C. We call it Chamber of Commerce weather. And you've got that giant American flag waving, and you can see it through the trees. I mean, come on.
If you look out the window right now, you can see it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's a big, beautiful flag.
It's a big, beautiful flag. By the way, the birds on my... You remember Peter Ducey over at Fox?
These birds are evil.
He was doing the live hit, and the birds came. I think they're Democrats. I think they're leftist birds, cuckoo birds.
They're evil.
And they attacked you, Glasscock.
They've attacked me twice. Twice since I've been here.
You got to cut back on the cologne.
It's the red meat and the red blood running through.
Or the cologne.
Either one.
Either one. Dalton Glasscock, Josh Jones joining us here on Media Row. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to the Commerce Secretary. Howard Lucknick's going to be here. Also, Lee Zeldin is going to drop by, and looking forward to chatting with him. He was actually in Memphis for a big Republican gathering. And by the way, I've got to give a shout out to the Tennessee Republican Party. They had their big statesman's dinner on Saturday. Speaker Mike Johnson came down, was the keynote speaker. Guys, I know you're involved in Republican politics. Over 1,700 people. It was the largest dinner that we've had in Tennessee for Republicans.
And I didn't get an invitation?
No. Well, you know, we were heading up here.
Okay, fine.
There's you should have come.
Some transitions.
But, you know, Speaker Johnson really just hit a home run. Everybody came away just pumped up and energized. And that's exciting to see, Dalton, and especially in your world of politics, to see the Republican Party marching towards the midterms, which historically, guys, and I want both of y'all to weigh in on this, historically have not been good for the party in control.
Well, I mean, what I think is incredibly exciting, it's not just what's happening in Washington, D.C. It's what's happening in state houses and what's happening in municipalities across the country, too. The energy is not just in the Capitol, and it's the energy should be in our local communities, and they should be at the state houses, because that's where most of the change gets done. And people are energized. They're ready to go. I've seen Democrat meetings in my hometown. I've seen Republican meetings. Far better attended, far more energy, and it's really the first time, even under a sitting Republican president, I've seen that much energy and momentum continued on.
And far less septum rings, too, so just want to point that out.
Why do you have to bring up these things? Just put bad visuals. Image. I know you're on radio. You paint pictures
it's
with your words.
It's the mind.
But nobody wants to see a septum nose ring.
Nobody.
And then we're going to stop there. There's a lot of other stuff that people
don't
want to see.
Nobody wants to date that, among other things. Yeah, Josh.
Yes. Circling back, I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, you're seeing it from both sides. You're seeing a top-down and a bottom-up, both in momentum on the Republican side of things. The Trump administration is going full speed here in D.C., implementing their agenda that they campaigned on in 2024. So you're seeing the base get energized because of that, but also at the local level, you have these unit meetings, committee meetings happening across the country. And like you mentioned, Todd, historically, the party in power doesn't perform very well in the midterms. But I think Republicans, as of right now, and obviously they should keep their foot on the gas, is on course to buck that trend. Because the Democrats are in total disarray. They don't even have a leader right now, a well-defined one at least. So Republicans are in a good spot. Shouldn't take it for granted, but, you know, we should feel confident.
Well, and again, Dalton, to that point, I think we all, and the administration knows this, come January, it's over. Everybody stops and focuses on reelection. So whatever we're going to get done, it has to be done between now and January. And, of course, looming in the background of all of this, we have yet another government shutdown coming. So, you know, this we don't really have a lot of time, and I'd love to see the pace that the administration's working on here.
The best takeaway of the second Trump administration is you cannot squander a day or a minute when you are elected. You have to take every opportunity you have. You have to push your agenda as much as you can and get people to back it, because goodwill only lasts a certain amount of time, and you have to hit the ground running, because you're only guaranteed 4 years up until we have to fight hard for the next 2 years, and then 4 years after that.
Is any idea, guys, what you think the issue is going to be moving into the midterms? Normally, at this point, we sort of know. I got to tell you, right now, Trump is looking stronger than ever before, and I'm wondering if that's going to carry the Republicans across the finish line.
It's always about the economy. Every single time. If people feel that they can put food on their table, that they can maybe take a vacation once a year, they're going to continue to vote for the policies that have put that in place. Yep. We can talk about other things that matter, but it's going to be the economy, and it's going to be, do people feel safe walking down their streets?
Yep, I totally agree. I mean, it's the kitchen table issues that's going to decide everything. You know, we'll talk about trade deals and other things, but whenever it comes back home and people get in the voting booth, they're going to say, is my family better off today than they were 2 years ago? And that's going to be the deciding factor.
What I think separates Trump than any other president, too, is regardless of whether you like what he's doing or not, he's kept his promises. And that is so rare in politics, to keep their promises. And people can see the returns and results every single day. And I think more than that, even more than the economy and more than safety, it's, do I trust them to say what they're going to do? And the answer is yes.
All right, fellas, they're yelling at me back in Memphis. We've got to take a quick break here. We've got to pay some bills. Coming up, speaking of trade, we're going to be talking to the Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, coming up. Also, Lee Zeldin. We're going to be taking your calls as well. What do you want to see President Trump do that he has yet to do as we begin that move towards the midterms? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show, broadcasting from the White House today. Dalton Glasscock joined us, Josh Jones. Guys, I know you're huge fans of Cracker Barrel, and this rebrand, I don't know if I've ever seen anything worse in all of American history. I don't get what they're trying to do here, Dalton.
It's consultants being paid a ton of money to give a bad product. I read something yesterday. It was when Pepsi did their rebrand. They spent over $1 million to basically alter the logo. It had to do with how does Pepsi look in terms of the galaxy. It was just some consultant mojo.
Listen, as a consultant, listen, if you have good ones, it works. If you have bad ones, which Cracker Barrel clearly did, it doesn't work. I don't get it. It's genuinely one of the worst rebrands I've seen of a brand in the last 5 years. I mean, it's absolutely awful. So whoever got paid for that, total ripoff.
More than the logo. The logo doesn't bother me as much as when you walk in. Like, you lose all the nostalgia. It just looks too clean. When I go to Cracker Barrel, I don't want to feel clean. Like, I want to feel that I came off a farm.
What is that?
Like, I don't want to feel clean in Cracker Barrel.
Well, you know, guys, I think it goes back to something that's very, very simple. And again, their stock plunged, 9-10%. I think it goes back to this. The food sucks. And something has happened where I think what they need to do is shut everything down. First of all, they need to get the board of directors together, fire the chief executive officer, fire whoever came up with the whole rebranding idea. Say, you know what, folks? We really stepped into a big pile of manure here. We're shutting down our restaurants for a week. We're bringing in fresh food. We're going to retrain the staff. We're painting the walls. And we're going to go back to the way things used to be We're Sorry America. I think that might work.
We were hoping to put your book on the shelves, but I don't think the new rebrand is going to take Culture Jihad or any
our
of
daily
your
biscuit.
They might take our daily biscuit, but I think you're hard pressed on anything else.
I should have written our daily croissant. Maybe they would have. That would have worked. It's the craziest thing, guys. And it turns out that a lot of their new staff hires are from the DEI world, and they were trying to make Cracker Barrel cool for the Gen Z hipsters in Brooklyn, New York. And that restaurant is just not for them. Or maybe it is, but predominantly that's not their audience.
I'll say again, I don't want to feel clean or I don't want to feel cool when I'm in Cracker Barrel. Like, I don't go there to be a cool guy.
True.
Why not? I feel pretty cool when I go to Cracker Barrel.
Or is that when you're in the rocking chair?
That's right. Man, and I'm playing the peg game. They even made the peg game a participation trophy event. So, like, if you leave four of the pegs that used to call you an ignoramus, and now it's like, just try better. Hang in there.
That's the blasphemy right there.
It's sad.
It's sad.
It's really sad. Guys, we got to take a break here. We want to hear from you as well. What do you think about all the hullabaloo around Cracker Barrel? Is it a brand that can be salvaged? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from the White House. And, guys, I've got to read this to you. First of all, I want to go back to this Cracker Barrel thing. Most of the people, like, on Fox that are talking about Cracker Barrel, it is very clear to me they haven't actually eaten a Cracker Barrel. And I know that a lot of the conservatives are trying to rally around the cause here, but I can promise you this, they haven't eaten a Cracker Barrel and they haven't been to Waffle House. And the thing about Waffle House, if you are, I mean, it would be like going in and wanting to redo the entire, you know, atmosphere around Waffle House. And you don't want to do that. I mean, if you're going in like 7 in the morning, okay, you're safe. But if you're at a Waffle House after midnight, your life is in danger.
Well, if you had to redo Waterhouse or Waffle House, you would actually have to, like, wash the tables, maybe get rid of, like, the diner, like, where you can sit at the bar, and maybe you have to make people nicer.
Yeah. No. Why would you do that? I mean, you want a mean waitress at Waffle House.
I told you, I don't want to feel clean walking into Cracker Barrel. I don't want to do that at Waffle House either.
You know, it could be one of these things, though, where maybe if you were going to do something different at Waffle House to make it fun, you could either pay your bill or fight the waitress for a free meal. So,
listen, I mean, that would definitely get some traction.
Josh is scrappy. I bet he could take it.
I don't know about that. I mean, if I was in a group, maybe.
Grab a spatula.
The only one I'm not counting on at us three is Todd. Todd's going to flee the Waffle House.
I'm going to sit there and eat my scattered, covered, and smothered. That's
just pay the check while we're fighting.
Exactly. So anyway, some guy writing this on social, he goes, they're offering some ideas here. And this is fascinating because when you look at the average Cracker Barrel, who was I talking to the other day about this? And they said, Cracker Barrel really is, in essence, a family restaurant. So when they introduced booze, you know, they put booze so you can get a mimosa, you can get a beer. Most Southerners do not, and you're from Virginia,
yeah.
Josh. You're sort
I'm
of South Southern. Yeah, but you're not. You're a Northerner.
Hey,
you're,
Prohibition was still law of the land until the 40s in
nobody,
Kansas.
Nobody drinks beer while they're eating biscuits and gravy.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no. Whenever they introduced that, I don't know what the angle was or who they're trying to market to. But yeah.
If you are eating beer or drinking beer with your biscuits and gravy, there might be a problem.
Yeah. I am wondering, though, people have been posting photos about showing empty parking lots at Cracker Barrels, and I'm curious to know from our audience if you guys have seen that nobody's eating at Cracker Barrel this weekend. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Someone said, you know what, ditch the booze These are family restaurants, church folks. We don't need booze. Another says, give the staff a crash course. And I've heard that even service has gone downhill, you know, where normally they're there with, you know, the iced tea, you know, the biscuits are plentiful, and you don't get that anymore.
I mean, if they have to keep booze, they should at least keep it a period piece and bring back moonshine.
Oh, well, now, okay.
See?
So years ago...
Pay me the $1 million in consulting fee, and I'll bring you back.
Guys, years ago, they sent me down, Fox News sent me to cover the Memphis MA Barbecue Festival back when it was on the river. And, you know, you've got to stay there 24-7, you know, to watch your, you know, your barbecue and the smoker. And there are a bunch of fellas, I think they call themselves One Bad Pig, or they were the Hog Father or somebody. I forget which team it was, but they actually made their own moonshine, and they mixed it with strawberry daiquiri mix. And I'm telling you, that'll clean out your sinus cavity right there, boys.
Yeah, I believe it.
Never seen anything.
It was an accident.
Like
that's your Diet Coke, your Baptist Martini.
Yeah, no, that was the full blown Sweet Lord Almighty. It was
makes a man out of you.
It was pretty impressive, I'll tell you that much. But all that to say, I like the moonshine. I think that's, you know, keeping in the theme of it all.
Bring a Carrie Nation and start chopping down the bars.
You see, they got rid of Aunt Jemima, then Uncle Ben, and now they're coming after the pork cracker on the Cracker Barrel logo. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, that was another thing someone recommended. Don't get rid of the logo. Leave the sign alone. What's next? Replacing the Statue of Liberty with a giant inflatable cowboy? And fire those Madison Avenue marketing geniuses. They're about as country as a Manhattan street performer. Which does remind me of the naked cowboy who used to, you know, he may still be strumming his guitar in the middle of Times Square.
Did you ever interview him, have a conversation?
I did, actually. He was a conservative at one time, and I went over and interviewed the guy.
Is he still?
I don't know. I don't know if he's still there.
I think, no, he is. I was in New York like a month or two ago, and I didn't personally see him, but like I'm pretty sure other people that I was talking to said they saw him. So
if there was a guy running around in tidy whiteys with a guitar, that's the naked cowboy.
Honestly, I appreciate people that are so dedicated that they choose to do that every day with their life.
Yeah, that's a choice.
The guy made some pretty good money. Pretty good. I mean, he was like a six-figure guy.
Listen, we support capitalism.
He was hauling in big bucks.
That's freedom for you.
There, God bless America. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And the latest story coming out of Fox is they set up a pop-up restaurant in Brooklyn, New York. And it was a Cracker Barrel, and they did line dancing. Okay, nobody does line dancing. And then they've asked all of these TikTok influencers to post these videos, yeah. And I guess that's who their target audience is nowadays.
Speaking of unique destinations in New York, I think the first time I went to the Chick-fil-A in Times Square was with you. It was right outside of the Fox headquarters.
That's right, and that was a great day in America when Chick-fil-A came. It was like the missionaries arriving in Hawaii. Right?
The line was from Manhattan all the way down.
It went on for blocks, and all the leftists were out there protesting.
They were still eating their chicken. They're coming back. They protest for a week, and then they realize it's really good chicken.
Because there's nothing better than a hot, juicy breast tucked between hot buttered buns.
And cut.
And on that note, we've got
God
to take
bless
a break
America.
Here. As the White House folks are giving us a strange look right now. We do need to take a quick break, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If you could give Chick-fil-A some advice, what advice would that be? We'll be right back, everybody.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from the White House today, and we'll have some special things to share with you on tomorrow's show, things we'll be doing after we wrap up the conversation here on the show. Coming up in the next hour, we are expecting Lee Zeldin, who is the EPA administrator. He'll join us. Also, Kevin Hassett is the director of President Trump's National Economic Council, and we're going to be weighing in on the, he's going to be weighing in on the tariffs and the trade deals, which have really, really been incredible. And I think, aside from President Trump, they have exceeded everyone's expectations. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're also expecting the Commerce Secretary to be dropping by any moment now. And when that happens, we will we'll bring you that conversation. So the NFL, it's they have stepped in it again, and there is just a peculiar debate within the National Football League about men joining cheerleading squads. Now, they originally thought this was just a way to generate a new fan base, but now it appears to be turning into a political message. And I say that because over the weekend, the Minnesota Vikings, they posted a new video featuring their two guys. That would be Louis Kahn and Blaze Sheik. And they are the newest members of the cheerleading team. Both men have been the focus of massive online conversation and debate, especially after they were filmed over the weekend in a ladies' bathroom with other cheerleaders who happen to be females. And so we've got the video up at toddstearns.com, and you can see it for yourself. And the video shows these men shaking their pom-poms in the bathroom with the females. Critics are accusing the NFL of mocking parents and female athletes who've been waging this fierce campaign to ban boys from girls' locker rooms and bathrooms, and many are now wondering if the NFL is sending their own message, a political message of their own, as a result of this video, which you can see on toddstearns.com. Jack Brewer, who's been a guest on my Newsmax program many times, is a former player for the Minnesota Vikings. And he's accusing the team of attempting to manipulate and confuse children by including these men on the cheer squads. And look, I mean, if you're a cheerleader, a male cheerleader in the past, typically those have been pretty bulky guys, muscular guys who can throw these gals up in the air and catch them, and also serve as the base for all of these pyramids and things that they do there. But anyway, Tommy Tuberville is now weighing in on this. Let me get back to Brewer. He says this is an attempt to manipulate young children to overtake the minds of young kids with what he calls a spiritual evilness. Is that what the male cheerleaders are? Are they spiritually evil? I don't know about that. The influence on kids is manipulating the minds of children. They're teaching young boys it's okay to have pom-poms and cheer and act like the women. Is this true? Now, Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, former head coach of the Auburn Tigers, telling OutKick Sports that fans might begin to cancel season tickets as a result of the NFL's gender-bending agenda. He says people are actually going to quit buying tickets because this is the narrative they're trying to push. This is not just about a couple of people being men cheerleaders. It's about pushing a narrative that you want to put gender into sports and let everyone know we're trying to show, hey, we're going to take the masculinity out of it a little bit. Now, the Daily Beast is weighing in on all of this. The Daily Beast reports that the following teams have dude cheerleaders on their squads. And by the way, we're not talking about the gymnasts who are, you know, now male. We're talking about basically Dylan Mulvaney type fellows. The Rams, Patriots, Saints, Panthers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Colts, Titans, Eagles, 49ers, and Ravens all have male cheerleaders on their squads. So there you go. Well, let me say this about the Panthers. They have a transgender dude. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Does this factor into whether or not you buy tickets to go watch an NFL game in person? Does this factor into whether or not you watch an NFL game? Is it that big of a deal? I mean, Fox is going wall to wall with their coverage of this. On the plus side, I would just say that these male cheerleaders, this could actually be a blessing in disguise for some of the teams. God forbid you have a couple of players go down with hamstring injuries. At least some of the cheerleaders might be able to trade the pom-poms for shoulder pads. Chances are they probably know a thing or two about handling balls out there on the field. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, was that inappropriate for the White House?
You may have almost got.
We're getting some
off
blowback
air,
yeah. Here. Yeah, we're going to get an FCC. We're going to get a call from the FCC on
I
that.
I debated
one.
Hitting.
So
one.
Anyway, well, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. Another big story we've been following out of D.C. has been the gerrymandering, and the vice president was on one of the Sunday talk shows and just did a remarkable job of laying out, all right, here's what's really going on with gerrymandering in America. Cut number one, please.
President Trump's agenda is so popular. Why do Republicans need to add additional seats to the map?
Well, first of all, Kristen, you have to ask yourself, why have Democrats gerrymandered their states aggressively over the past 10 to 20 years? If you look, for example, at the popular vote in a lot of these states, and Massachusetts, where 32% of the residents of Massachusetts voted for Republicans, zero Republican federal representatives. So we're not trying to sort of, all we're doing, frankly, is trying to make the situation a little bit more fair on a national scale. The Democrats have gerrymandered their states really aggressively. We think there are opportunities to push back against that, and that's really all we're doing.
All right, and there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the vice president of these great United States. Explaining that the Democrats have been doing gerrymandering for generations. As a matter of fact, in places like, for example, Massachusetts, and let's just take New England, where you've got about 40, in some areas between 38 to 50% of the population happen to be Republican, you have zero Republican congressional districts throughout all of New England. Does that make any sense to you? No, of course not, because all of these areas have been gerrymandered, and that's what the administration is trying to do here. And I go back to something I said weeks ago, that we need to be focusing on every single red state, and every single red state we need to be going after and gerrymandering out the remaining Democrat districts. We have to do unto them as they have been doing unto us. This is not church. This is not fair and balanced. This is politics. And if you've got the power, you've got to use that power. The Democrats have been doing it forever, and it's time for the Republicans to step up and start playing the exact same game that the Democrats are playing with the exact same rules that the Democrats are playing with. I mean, it really is that simple. And by the way, if we were able to do that, let's just theoretically, if we were able to do that, Republicans pick up 5 or 6 seats. And by the way, President Trump said in my interview on Thursday that if push comes to shove, we could, when all is said and done, if mail-in ballots are done away with, Republicans would pick up 100 congressional seats as a result of just that one thing. And that's, again, looking at the fraud, looking at the level of fraud that's been happening in the elections process. It's a game changer. So, again, this is nothing that we're not doing anything new, except Republicans would be playing hardball, which we haven't really had a history of doing right now. That's one of the reasons why I think people are so impressed with what President Trump is doing, because he is taking the fight directly to the Democrats, and they have completely discombobulated. What do you view? Oh, by the way, and this is exciting news for you folks out there in Houston and across the entire state of Texas, Jasmine Crockett will no longer have a congressional district when it's all said and done. And there are a lot of people who say she ought to be running for the White House as a Democrat. Well, certainly not a Republican. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on those efforts as well. We are looking now at Missouri being the latest state, Missouri and possibly Indiana, the latest states that will gerrymander out the remaining Democrat seats. So we'll keep you updated on those efforts as well. Hey, ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen, please go check out our website. Great stories and content there. You can also download our free podcast and our free newsletter available for you right now at ToddStearns.com. All right, we have to take a quick break here. I'm Todd Stearns along with Dalton Glasscock and Josh Jones. We're broadcasting from the White House today. Coming up in the next hour, Lee Zeldin is going to be here. Also, Kevin Hassan from the National Economic Council. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the Todd Stearns Radio Show coming up.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, wherever you might be. We are now broadcasting on over 160 radio stations around the nation. And what an honor it is to be broadcasting today, not from Memphis, but from the White House complex. We are here on Media Row, and we've had a great conversation with a lot of administration officials. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We are really honored. I've been looking forward to this conversation all afternoon. Lee Zeldin, who was a great congressman, ran for governor of New York, now the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Lee, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be with you, Todd.
We were bragging about you when I saw your name on our guest list. You were the keynote speaker at a Republican gathering in Memphis a couple of years back, and you really brought a message that I think really revolutionized the thinking for a lot of Republicans in that blue part of Tennessee.
Yeah, we were just coming off of a race for governor in New York, and in a state like New York, it's about 22% Republican, 3.5 million more Democrats than Republicans. Conservatives have to get outside of their comfort zone. You have to go out and meet people who maybe haven't supported your causes for a long time, if ever. And it was a similar theme when we were all together down there in Memphis, where there are all sorts of different voters in Tennessee who maybe haven't supported conservatives in the past. And you can't just expect them to just come around. You have to go out, work hard to earn their support. And that's something that I've gotten the update from you coming out of that appearance, a lot of folks have been working hard to get into the city.
It's been exciting, and I think when you talk, and maybe it's a little too soon to talk about legacy for President Trump and this term in office, but that's how he won, by reaching out to groups and taking the Republican message out there, and it is a winning formula. And, of course, we've seen that. I want to get the EPA in just a second, but we've seen that with the whole crime issue. People are saying, please come and help us, and it's working.
And it's working. Right now, the effort inside of Washington, D.C. is with the goal of making the streets, making our capital safe, to improve the quality of life here, the safety of being able to walk through these streets. And there are people who are watching what's going on in Washington. They might be from Baltimore to Los Angeles and in other cities across the country, Chicago, New York, and elsewhere. And they're saying, gosh, I would like to see that kind of leadership be welcomed into my local city to make our streets safer. So much ends up improving about life inside of and around a city when you're making the streets safer, when you have a rule of law and that rule of law is being enforced. And that's something that President Trump has been outspoken about for a very long time. And now sitting in that position as President of the United States, all day he's meeting with the team and trying to figure out what can we do next to continue to move the ball.
And, you know, part of that is energy dominance. And that has been curtailed by the left for so many years. You know, you've got the whole push for wind, and we know that's not the answer. What's that been like? You stepped into the role at EPA. That's a pretty big job, especially when it comes to accomplishing the president's agenda.
We inherited a big mess. And we welcome the challenge. We have a good team around us. We're working to fix everything at once. We saw massive, into the tens of billions of dollars, just getting wasted money that was getting sent towards people who were former Obama and Biden administration officials and Democratic donors, left-wing activist groups, getting money as pass-throughs, in some case pass-throughs. So getting control of the money, I've canceled over $29 billion of grants. That was part of the effort. On the deregulatory side, we saw in the Biden administration efforts to try to strangulate out of existence entire sectors of our economy, including our energy economy. We are going through right now what amounts to the largest deregulatory action in the history of our country. All told, in 1 year, we'll do more deregulation at one agency than entire federal governments have done across all agencies across entire presidencies. We're choosing to protect the environment and grow the economy. The list of environmental wins, many hundreds. We're going to keep that up while also growing our economy.
I mean, in a way, you look at some of those policies from the left, and they were kind of turning the whole environmental issue into its own sort of perverted religion, in a way.
You had people who were using terms for organizing, for getting regulation or statute over the finish line to get appropriations done, that were dividing the country. I mean, I think that Americans across the ideological spectrum, across the political spectrum, care about the environment. We can all agree that we should have clean air, land, and water for all Americans. But when you start talking about how the world is about to end, and in the name of saving the planet, being just years away from the end of existence, we have to bankrupt our country, there are a lot of conservatives who start asking questions, scratching their head, and saying, well, that's not the best path forward. You know, when people start talking about environmental justice and then perverting the definition, instead of actually remediating an environmental issue in an area that needs help, instead you're using that to get tens of billions of dollars for your well-connected friends, then all of a sudden you're dividing the populace. And what really would be the best way forward is for us to just all agree that we want to protect the environment. We want to conserve our environment. We care about having clean water. There are a lot of hunters and fishermen who are conservatives, people who come from places of the country. They're quite proud of the beauty of that state, that region that they call home. But unfortunately, the left has divided us. We're working hard to just cut through all that BS, all of that noise, and just advance good policy.
And I'd like to think that maybe the greatest conservationists out there are indeed conservatives, who are the hunters and the fishermen. You know, they have, there's a reason why we need to be stewards, you know, good stewards of the environment, as the Bible commands us to be. So I get that. I think that is a conservative, you know, that's a foundational belief for us. And somewhere along the way, you know, the liberals have co-opted that and have perverted it. You know, I want to go back to the environment and the EPA. I know in Memphis, for example, we've been really struggling, and Elon Musk coming in and building his supercomputer AI thing over there. And what is it that the left did? They're immediately targeting him and attacking him as an environmental issue. Are those days coming to an end where they're weaponizing the environment to take out businesses?
Well, I mean, right now, the biggest development is that they don't have the levers of power in Washington like they did. And there's one party Democratic rule in Washington not that long ago. This time, 3-4 years ago, they controlled all the levers of power. Now President Trump is here. It's a Republican Congress. We're advancing cooperative federalism. We're working with states and local communities. We're approving state implementation plans. We're signing off on primacy requests where states want to be in control of their own destiny. But you still have states and local municipalities where Democrats are in charge. And you also have environmental groups that want to justify their existence fundraising to their donors by trying to gum up the works and stopping projects all across the entire country. So I don't think now is the time to let our foot off of the gas. Now is the time to fix everything and stay on offense confidently, knowing that we are going down the right path.
Is it true? There's a story in the New York Post that Obama and Biden alumni had a $20 billion slush fund, a climate slush fund?
Yeah, $20 billion that the Biden EPA parked at an outside bank, so much money they didn't know how to spend it themselves, going through 8 pass-throughs. And this is one of the 8 pass-throughs President Trump's spoken out about a lot, the Stacey Abrams-linked NGO, received $100 in 2023. They got $2 billion in 2024. And even the Biden EPA was expressing concern over many aspects of these NGOs, but they pushed the money out towards them anyway with reduced agency oversight, and we put a stop to it. We aren't going to allow any waste or abuse. We have a zero-tolerance policy for it. And whether it's the canceled grants, over $29 billion, or it's the real estate consolidations, staff reductions, media subscriptions that have been canceled, a wasteful Biden EPA museum that costs too much to build and costs too much to keep up, even though almost no one was even visiting it, we will pursue efficiencies wherever we can.
Before we let you go, I hope they have this framed in your office somewhere, the New York Times story, Inside the Radical Transformation of America's Environmental Role. They didn't mean for that to be nice, but I think that's tremendous. And you're doing a terrific job, Lee. It's good to see you again, and to keep up the great work at EPA.
Great to see you too, Todd. Keep up the great work where you're at, and congratulations on going national in a really big way. You deserve it, and your audience loves you.
Well, you're kind to say it. Lee Zeldin, everybody, from the Environmental Protection Agency. We've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting live from the White House Media Row, having a great time as we visit with a lot of Trump administration officials, the president meeting with the South Koreans over in the Oval Office today, and we were just so honored to have the president on our show last Thursday, and we certainly appreciate all of you guys hanging out with us. Just a very different kind of a show. We'll be broadcasting the show tomorrow as well from Washington, and then we'll be back in Memphis on Wednesday. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. As we get ready to welcome into the conversation Kevin Hassan, who is with the National Economic Council, and he'll be with us to talk about these huge trade deals coming up in just a little while. You know, I want to bring into the conversation again, Dalton. We've got so many things happening around here, but we're very excited to have Judge Jeanine Pirro, who may be swinging by in just a few moments. So a lot of stuff happening here as we broadcast from Washington, D.C. One of the other stories, guys, we've been following. We got a little discombobulated there, Glasscock, but you never know who's going to come by and just drop in.
There's a lot of energy here, and people shuffling around everywhere.
No doubt about that. Guys, there was an interesting story in Politico, and it's our understanding that a center-left think tank called The Third Way is now circulating a list of 45 words and phrases that they want Democrats to stop using. You know, the little told story here is how insane things have gotten for the Democrats. Their party is in tatters right now. I mean, you guys are experts in the business here. Do you really see a way forward for the Democrats right now? Whoops, and it would be helpful if I turned everybody's microphones on there. All right.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Todd. If you look at the 2024 election, they lost every single swing state. They have no leader right now. They're in total disarray. And I think you see the party trying to find themselves. If you look at the primary in New York and the mayor's race, I mean, they nominated a self-admitted socialist, basically a communist. And then you have other states maybe swinging back towards the middle a little bit, but they really don't have a national identity right now.
What I hear from individuals, it just comes down to this elitist attitude. They think they know better than the average American, that the average American is stupid. And so when someone tells you that you're wrong about this, that the words you use are wrong, your beliefs are wrong, then you're going to continue to turn people away. That's not the way to get votes. That's not the way to win elections.
Here are some of the words they want Democrats to stop using. Words like privilege. You can't use that word anymore. Also, triggering. They don't want you to use that word, or microaggressions.
See, I've seen a few of those already phase out. That was big when I was in college, but I haven't heard microaggression, triggering, probably in at least 5 years.
Yeah. Body shaming. Can we all just agree here, gentlemen? I think it's safe to say that, I mean, people are out there celebrating obesity. I don't think that's a good thing to be doing. That is an incredibly bad thing when you've got what percentage. You heard the Maha guy on here talking about how many people have diabetes in this country. It's insane.
Todd, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and I guess all your listeners now. My only B in middle school was because I was in PE because I didn't pass the Presidential Medal of Fitness. And so I believe we should bring it back, even though it was the I couldn't touch my toes. That's what it came down to. And I think it was pull-ups, too, but I'll say sure. Touching toes.
You know, Mandami was trying to bench press the other day, and he couldn't do it. And he had to have help. Somebody had to spot him.
I haven't told you this yet, Todd. I bought you flights to New York from D.C. so you can go and see if you can out-challenge him.
Yeah, probably not going to win on that one here, guys. Person who immigrated. That phrase has been banished by the Democrats. Also, cisgender and dead naming. And, you know, that was a relatively new term, right? And cisgender is basically a straight person.
Right.
Is that, yeah, CIS, cisgender.
I'm actually not even entirely sure, but what do they have also what they're replicating, or just take these out of your repertoire? No replacements?
No, there are no replacements for these words, guys. Oh, here we go, dead naming. That's when you use a transgender person's birth name. So that's called dead naming. And so they said they're getting rid of that. Heteronormative, and I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what heteronormative means.
I could speculate.
It could mean that you prefer female cheerleaders. if you have the NFL game.
What are some of the others?
Patriarchy. Oh, BIPOC. Which is... You see, at first I thought it was bisexual people
black
of color,
indigenous
but it's
people.
Black indigenous people of color. So BIPOC, LGBTQIA+, that whole phrase they recommend just stopping
I think there. The new one, though, is 2S, LGBTQIA+. I think they added some new acronyms recently. So I wonder if that one's excluded on this list or not.
There was a story, guys. This happened yesterday where a woman tried to get on board an airplane, but she had Two Spirit on her passport thing or whatever, and they refused to let her on. They had to have, yeah, we've got to have your birth.
Canadian?
Could have been. And I'm thinking, the problem is, if you're the TSA agent, which spirit is actually boarding the airplane? I mean, that's, I can see where that would be.
What are some of the closers?
Closers, patriarchy, involuntary confinement, incarcerated people, and allyship.
So incarcerated people in jail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Prisons. Yeah.
What are some of the other ones? What were the other two?
Oh, cultural appropriation and microaggressions, othering.
I give it a week. I give it a week.
You give
they can
it a
eliminate.
Week?
Yeah, they can't eliminate this out of the vocabulary. This is the entire vocabulary of the left.
We're about to mute the entire Democrat Party. That's what's about to happen here. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from the White House today. And we're very excited to welcome into the conversation Kevin Hassett, who is the director of the National Economic Council. Kevin, good to have you with us today.
Oh,
and
it's great to be here.
I have to tell you, I saw a report about the tariffs, and the numbers are just phenomenal. And the projections they're making are far exceeding anybody's expectations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Like, what's going on is that people are taking kind of a price hit. We're talking about the foreign exporters so that they can maintain market share in the U.S. And so it's kind of like if you used to buy something from China for $100, well, they cut the price to 90 and then there's 10 cents tax. And so people aren't seeing it in the inflation numbers, but the revenue is incredible. It's looking like it might be north of $3 or even $4 trillion over the next 10 years.
I have to imagine, and I know that you guys are all very professional, so you wouldn't do this, but it has to be good to look at the naysayers and say, see, we told you so, because this really has, I think, impressed a lot of folks around the country.
Yeah, I got to say that President Trump's intuition about the impact of tariffs on the economy has been 100% correct. And, you know, frankly, at times it's different than my own intuition being as a trained PhD economist, but it's 100% working exactly the way he said.
When you look at some of the pocketbook issues facing a lot of Americans, and that really – generated, I think, a lot of attention towards the president going into the election cycle when you looked at the rising cost of things like gasoline or just the basic necessities at the grocery store. When you look at those items, how are we doing as far as bringing those costs back down?
Well, you know, we've brought inflation, overall inflation, down year over year. It's about 1.9%. And it's been, you know, pretty much across the board reductions in the rate of inflation. We, of course, came into a completely mismanaged avian flu situation at the beginning where egg prices were skyrocketing, but we, with the help of Secretary Brooke Rollins, managed that, and now egg prices are back down. You know, there are some pockets where like gasoline prices are fine, but there's some pockets where prices are still high. Beef prices are higher than we would like, and we're considering policies to help with that.
But it takes a lot of time as well. This is not something that's just going to be resolved magically overnight.
Right. Well, but it has been resolved radically in the sense that inflation has gone from about 4 when we took office to about half that.
Wow. Kevin Hassett joining us, director of the National Economic Council. As far as tariffs, I know President Trump and the trade deals, President Trump meeting with the South Koreans. How are things looking there, and what does the future look like for those tariffs?
Right. Well, I think that what you're seeing is that the tariff game is sort of finishing up, that you're seeing where the president has landed these deals. And the deals are really fantastic. They're not only about getting revenue in to preserve Social Security and everything else, but also opening up their markets for our products. And so historically, our farmers, our small businessmen have had a really hard time shipping stuff to foreign countries. And one of the first things that President Trump has put on the list for a trade deal every single time is that you have to open your market unconditionally to our people. And that's what's been going on.
Let's talk about Intel, if we can. That's generated a lot of talk, especially among more libertarian-leaning Republicans who say we've got no business, the government has no business taking a stake in any kind of a venture like Intel. What say you to that?
Well, the thing is that the Biden administration had committed to give lots of taxpayer money to Intel, and doing away with the CHIPS money was something that wasn't possible with the Senate bill. And so in the end, the president decided, well, fine, if we're going to give them the money, then let's buy some stock. Think of it as sort of a start of something like a sovereign wealth fund. But there's, you know, tight rules against what the government can do with the stock, so the government's not going to vote the shares or, you know, influence the policies.
I was reading somewhere, though, that it would actually make us the largest stockholder out of the stock. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look it up.
You have Senator Rand Paul, completely opposed to the deal, says this is really a step towards socialism. How would you respond to critics?
Well, if you think about it, there are state pension funds and government pension funds and government sovereign wealth funds that own equities all the time. And so Rand Paul, who I have a great deal of friendship and respect for, is right that you got to be careful that the government doesn't go in, buy the capital, and then micromanage businesses. But that's not the intent of the president at all. He just thinks that, well, if we're going to be giving them tens of billions of dollars in federal monies, then we should get some upside in return.
When you stepped into the role, you know, again, the country was in a pretty, you know, a difficult spot financially, economically speaking. How are things progressing, and have you been surprised at the pace that the president has been taking the country on?
I haven't really been surprised, because what President Trump has done is basically he spent 4 years getting ready for this year. And so everything was ready to go. It was baked and cooked and ready to go the minute on January 20th that he was sworn into office. And so the pace is shocking, I'm sure, to everyone, in the sense that there's never been a presidency like this that's accomplished so much so soon. But it happened precisely because President Trump and his team spent the last 4 years getting ready to fix Joe Biden's America.
I think that, and that's a pretty fair assessment, and you're right. It wasn't just the economy. He was working on everything. So I think, you know, lessons learned from the first term in office, we come in and we hit the ground running, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have seen so many wonderful accomplishments thus far.
Yeah, you know, you could even say that in the fullness of time, since people are term limited to two terms, that it might not be bad for people to take a term off before they come back in, because the amount of success that President Trump's had, I'm sure, is related to the fact that he studied exactly what needs to be done for this country very carefully, and then built a team to make sure that they can enact it right away.
He sure did. He sure did. And, Kevin, we're glad you're a part of that team, and we appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Todd.
All right, folks, we're going to have to take a quick break. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Think of how easy it would be to be a damn Republican. Oh, what should I wear today? This stupid freaking red hat. What should I say today? I don't know. Just make sure it's cruel. Who do we listen to? That guy. Oh, the felon in the White House? Yeah, listen to him and that will be fine. Now he's talking about burning flags. He's going to have flag burning or whatever. Because he knows there's a hell of a lot of flags with his picture on it that are going to get burned. Think of.
Wow. Okay. That was Minnesota Governor Tim Walz calling on people to burn American flags in protest of President Trump. And that guy's completely lost his ever-loving mind. What a story. And, of course, all of this in response to President Trump earlier today, the president signing an executive order calling for jail time for anyone who burns Old Glory. And it makes a lot of sense. A lot of people in this country don't understand why it's against the law to burn any other flag except the American flag. Why is that? And so the president today signing an executive order saying, you know what, this is going to be a new day in America. Here is the president. Cut number, let's see here, 13, please.
Lastly, sir, this is an executive order on flag burning. It charges your attorney general.
Would you listen to this? This is very important. Flag burning. All over the country, they're burning flags. All over the world, they burn the American flag. And as you know, through a very sad court, I guess it was a 5-4 decision, they called it freedom of speech. But there's another reason, which is perhaps much more important. It's called death. Because what happens when you burn a flag is the area goes crazy. If you have hundreds of people, they go crazy. You could do other things. You can burn this piece of paper. You can. And it's. But when you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry, angry about them doing it. Do you want to discuss that?
Sure. So what the executive order does, sir, it charges your Department of Justice with investigating instances of flag burning, and then where there's evidence of criminal activity, that where prosecution wouldn't fall afoul of the First Amendment, and instructs the Department of Justice to prosecute those who are engaged in these instances of flag burning.
And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail. No early exits, no nothing. You get 1 year in jail. If you burn a flag, you get. And what it does is incite to riot. I hope they use that language, by the way. Did they?
Yeah, incitement is.
Incite to riot.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was President Trump just a little while ago coming from the Oval Office. The president also signing an executive order that will now withhold federal funding from states and cities that use cashless bail. That would be New York City, by the way. That's been one of the big problems in the Big Apple. But the president going far beyond that and announcing that he is looking at sending National Guard, or at least deploying National Guard troops, to a number of cities. Up next could very well be Chicago, the Windy City. Here is President Trump on that, cut number 12.
So I'll start signing the executive orders. To me, this is a very, very big deal. One of the executive orders has to do with cashless bail. That was when the big crime in this country started. And I can tell you who did it, when, but I don't want to do that because others followed pretty quickly. But that was when it happened. Somebody kills somebody, they go in, don't worry about it, no cash, come back in a couple of months, we'll give you a trial. You never see the person again. And, I mean, they kill people and they get out. Cashless bail. They thought it was discriminatory to make people put up money because they just killed three people lying on a street. Any street all over the country, cashless bail. We're ending it, but we're starting by ending it in D.C., and that we have the right to do through federalization. Okay, let's go. Could I ask you to say exactly what this is?
Of course. So as you've consistently identified, sir, cashless bail policies are a key driver of the disorder we see on city streets all over America. Catch and release system allows criminals to keep going back out onto the street and reoffending. What this executive order does, it charges your attorney general with identifying jurisdictions all over the country that have cashless bail policies, and then it withholds or revokes federal funds and grants that are flowing to those jurisdictions to ensure that we're only supporting the people who have reasonable common sense policies around crime.
So what area does it cover?
Potentially anywhere that has a cashless bail policy. So some of the largest cities, some of the most left-wing states in America.
Almost all of them, right?
Illinois would be a great example of that, sir.
Oh, they have a great cashless bail. You don't even have to go to court sometimes. No. Illinois, I love that state. It's a great state, but it's run so badly by Pritzker. They threw him out of the family business and he becomes governor. Now he wants to run for president. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, we'll sign right here, right?
Sir.
So important. And this isn't Republican, Democrat. This is, and by the way, most Democrats agree with us. But this is just, we got to bring our country back.
All right, that was President Trump just a little while ago signing those executive orders from the Oval Office. I want to share some breaking news with you. This involves Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, who was apparently supposed to be deported to Uganda. But now we understand an Obama judge has stepped in and has now forbidden the Trump administration from deporting Kilmar Abrego-Garcia, the so-called Maryland man, who, by the way, was facing some trafficking charges here in the state of Tennessee. So anyway, Judge Paula Zenas writing this, your clients are absolutely forbidden at this juncture to remove Mr. Abrego-Garcia from the continental United States. This is being reported by Politico. So you've got an Obama-era judge who now decides that she knows better than Donald J. Trump. There you have it. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we also have some breaking news on the Cracker Barrel story. This story just doesn't stop. So now Cracker Barrel has released a statement, and I want to read this to you. If the last few days have shown us anything, it's how deeply people care about Cracker Barrel. We're truly grateful for your heartfelt voices. You've also shown us that we could have done a better job sharing who we are and who we will always be. Here's the issue. We know who they were, and we knew what they were always supposed to be. But they veered from that mission. Cracker Barrel goes on to say, what has not changed and what will never change are the values this company was built on when Cracker Barrel first opened in 1969. Hard work, family, and scratch-cooked food made with care. Is it really homemade food, though? I mean, in all honesty, is it really homemade? That's what I don't think it is anymore. It's a place where everyone feels at home, no matter where you're from or where you're headed. That's the Cracker Barrel you'll always find. So they, I'm still waiting for the point where they say, we're really sorry, and we've dispatched the renovators to turn everything back. The things people most love about our stores aren't going anywhere. Rocking chairs on the porch, a warm fire in the hearth, peg games on the table, unique treasures in our gift shop, and vintage Americana with antiques. Pulled straight from our warehouse in Lebanon, Tennessee. Jeez, Lou, this goes on and on and on. So they say, while our logos and remodels may be making headlines, our bigger focus is still right where it belongs, in the kitchen and on your plate, serving generous portions of the food you crave at the fair prices you are. Right. Yeah, I'm just not sure this is going to move the needle at all, to be perfectly honest about it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a shame, because they really screwed up a good thing. That being said, Steak and Shake is inviting everybody to come and get a little taste of and flavor of what they're doing. And Steak and Shake says that they're not going anywhere, and they're not changing anything. And quite frankly, I'm glad to hear that. So anyway, there you have it. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to be doing the show from Washington, I believe over at the Newsmax Bureau, and we're looking forward to bringing a great show to you. We're going to have Winsome Sears, who is running to be the next governor of Virginia. She's going to be joining us on tomorrow's show in the first hour of the program. That is going to be a very important conversation, as clearly the far leftists, the Democrats, have turned this into a nasty, nasty election cycle about race. So we'll be talking to Winsome Sears tomorrow exclusively on the Todd Starnes radio show. Oh, by the way, Snoop Dogg is making some headlines. Snoop Dogg is very upset. He was taking the kids to go see a show, and now Snoop Dogg is really upset because the program, oh, is his grandson. Is Snoop Dogg really old enough to have grandchildren? I guess he is. Anyway, there was a cartoon. It was a cartoon show, and it featured a same-sex couple having a baby. And Snoop Dogg really got upset about all of that. He said, the kids are going to be asking questions. Take him to Cracker Barrel, Snoop Dogg. That's all I can tell you. All right, it has been a lot of fun here. As always, the White House crew, very gracious host. We still have a few more things to do here, and we'll be telling you more about that on tomorrow's show. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax, and I'll be hosting the 9 o'clock show tonight Eastern on Newsmax. It's been a lot of fun broadcasting from our nation's capital and the White House. Get out there and have a great one, everybody. You be good, America.
Looking for affordable auto insurance, even with tickets or accidents? At the Andrews Insurance Agency in Greensboro, we've got your back. We specialize in non-standard coverage with low down payments, low monthly rates, and excellent options for foreign and inexperienced drivers. Our friendly, bilingual agents are ready to help. We're open till 7 and here for you 24/7. Call 336-897-7500 or visit theandrewsinsuranceagency.com today. The Andrews Insurance Agency. Coverage that works for you.